So we're talking about not entirely about bullies today, but we're talking about relationships. And this is the fifth key area that we are looking at in our Transformed 2019 series. We started off with spiritual health and moved on to physical health and then mental health, and then last week we talked about our emotional health. Today we're going to consider relationships and our relational health. The title of this message is Facing the Fears That Ruin Relationships. Facing the Fears That Ruin Relationships. Some of you already attended the small group time, but if not, please consider attending one that's yet this week, tomorrow night. Watch the weather though, of course, please. And then Wednesday as well, we'll have a small group time where we're going to talk about how to build healthy friendships. But for today, we're going to look at the fears that ruin relationships. And the Genesis reading that I just read gives us the reason. It gives us the why in why relationships are so hard, and why we have fears in our lives in regard to relationships. And it goes all the way back to the first people. The first people who believed the tempter that somehow God was holding out on them, and that somehow things would be better if they ate the forbidden fruit. And we see immediately what happened. That relationship, that perfect relationship with the Lord God was broken. And it spilled over into their life as well. The relationship between the first people was broken and harmed as well. And that's the foundation. And so we're going to consider three basic fears that ruin relationships that we learn from the broken first relationship with the Lord God. And that fear spills over into our other relationships as well, not only our relationship with the Lord. So the first basic fear is, my fear of exposure makes me distant. Our fear of exposure makes us distant, and we saw that truth play out in Genesis 3. God called to Adam, "Why are you hiding?" Adam said, "I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Of course, we know God knew the answer to the question, but wanted Adam to face reality. And so this fear, this damage that happened, it came in three phases or stages. The first stage or phase was that you see immediately that there was shame. Adam and Eve experienced shame. Verse 7, they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. Fear is really often based in shame, isn't it? Embarrassed with maybe something that is a part of us or some piece of who we are, and just ashamed and have shame in who that makes us to be, or who we perceive it makes us to be, might be a better way of looking at it. So shame is first, and then phase two is the cover-up. So they sewed fig leaves to cover up themselves. We cover up today as well, don't we? It might be a little more sophisticated than sewing together some fig leaves, but we do a pretty good job, I think. Some people use humor, try to cover up who they are. Some people hide behind false identities or try to project themselves in a certain way. And with social media, it's real easy to try to project or portray ourselves as being something that we aren't. The big cover-up. So after shame and the cover-up comes distance from God, and we see the result. Then they hid from God among the trees. You know, their relationship with the Lord was perfect. And it doesn't tell us in Genesis how long it was that way. You know, it immediately follows the creation account. It might have been a long time, but it at that point, though, of disobedience, that perfect relationship was broken. Their identity was to be completely rooted in the Lord. And as long as that identity was perfect, their relationships were perfect between the man and the woman. But that was broken. Shame, cover up, and distance from God. So the first thing is our exposure makes us distant. Not only from God, but also between each other. The second thing is my fear of disapproval makes me defensive. Fear of disapproval. Genesis 3:12, God asked, "Did you eat what I told you not to eat?" Adam answered, "You gave me this woman, and she gave me the fruit." And then Eve said, "The snake tricked me into eating. It's not my fault. It's not my fault." That's what happens after our distance. "It's not my fault, God. You did this." And then finally, the third fear we have is losing control makes me demanding. Verse 16, "You'll have yearning for your husband, but he will lord it over you." That's where it all began. Battle of the sexes, relationship difficulties, and we become demanding. What about me? Instead of that perfect relationship, what about me? So what's the antidote? What's the medicine for this predicament, this relationship and relationships that are broken? We know what it is by looking at the cross. It's love. Love is the antidote. And it's all because of what Jesus did on the cross. That perfect love to repair, restore, and redeem what was lost in the garden. That perfect love flows. And we can love because He first loved us. 1 John 4:18 says, "Wherever God's love is, there is no fear. Because God's perfect love drives out all fear." God's love. God's love can enable us to live with no fear. So we're given three different ways or things to think about in how to live, how to improve in our love, in our loving others, our loving the Lord first and then loving others. The first of the three is surrender. We need to surrender, and then we need to remember, and then we need to offer. And so we're going to break those down and talk about each one more individually. So number one, every day I need to surrender my heart to God. Every day. And the way we think about that in our church is we need to come to the baptismal waters, or we need to remember our baptisms every day. We need to ask the Lord for forgiveness every single day. We need to remember who He is and who we are as sinners before the Lord. Job 11:13 through 18 says, "Surrender your heart to God. I would say, come to Him for forgiveness. Turn to Him in prayer. Give up your sins, even those you do in secret. Then you won't be ashamed. You will be confident and fearless. Your troubles will go away like water beneath a bridge. Your darkest night will be brighter than noon. Then you'll rest safe and secure, filled with hope and emptied of worry." Those are some amazing promises. Three commands, and then those eight amazing promises. Come before the Lord. Surrender every single day. Come to Him for forgiveness. And we will be fearless in all the other things it promised. So every day, surrender my heart to God. Number two, every day we need to remember the way God loves us. Remember the way God loves us. We're given four things to remember. There's certainly as many, many more, but these four capture much. So here it is, the first one. The first way that God loves us is that we're completely accepted. We are completely accepted. Now, a lot of times we hear people, at least I do, say that they don't feel they can go to church or pray or read the Bible or anything because they just aren't worthy. They need to clean themselves up, so to speak. And then come. But we know that God loves us the way we are. We're accepted completely the way we are. Titus 3:7 says, Jesus made us acceptable to God. Jesus does that, not us. In fact, we can't. We can't make ourselves acceptable. So number one, we are completely accepted. Number two, we are unconditionally loved. Unconditionally loved. Again, not that we do something. If I do this or that, if I become this or that, then God will love me. And that's not what it is. We are loved unconditionally. Isaiah 54:10, my love for you will never end, says the Lord. Will never end. So we're loved unconditionally. Number four, I'm totally forgiven. Totally. I'm totally forgiven. Ever ponder that deeply? God sees everything and sees our future and saw us before we were born. So He knew everything we would do, all the wrongs we would do in our life. Kind of sad on one hand to think about it, but then on the other hand to think about that total forgiveness that He gives us. Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation, none, for those in Christ Jesus. Totally forgiven. So number four, I'm considered extremely valuable. Ever think about your value before the Lord and how valuable you are? When you think about selling things and, I watch these sometimes auction shows on TV. Sometimes it's with vehicles, you know. Do you ever notice that something that was owned by a celebrity is worth far more than just a regular person? So like my white truck out there is kind of old, it's 2008. If that was on an auction and it was sold by me versus an exact vehicle that's being sold by, let's say, Tom Brady, which one do you think is going to bring the most? Tom Brady's is going to, somebody's going to just want that. Tom Brady owned this. The value of the owner. Think about who owns, and that can increase or decrease. Maybe somebody might see it's mine and say, I won't give you $5 for it. Think of the value, though. So the value, then, of ownership. Whose are you? Whose am I? The Creator of the universe owns you and owns me. How could there be any higher value? And then think about the price that somebody's willing to pay. Something is really only worth what it's somebody's willing to pay. Put any kind of a price tag on it, and it doesn't really matter. It's what's paid where the true value is. Again, think about the price that was paid for you. And for me, and looking at the cross, we are highly valued, highly valued. 1 Corinthians 7:23, you've been bought and paid for by Christ's death. Bought and paid for by Christ's death. That's pretty amazing. So every day we surrender, every day we remember who we are and our value before the Lord. And then finally, number three, Every day we need to offer that same love to others. We love, and we can only love because He first loved us. John 13:34, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other in the same way, in the same way that I have loved you. So think about that in your relationships. Do you accept others like Jesus accepts you? Do you love others like Jesus loves you? Do you forgive others as Jesus loves you? Do you value others in the same way that you are valued? What a world it would be if we lived that out. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love never stops being patient. Love never stops believing. Love never stops hoping. And love never gives up. It's all about love. And the love that comes from Him, first of all. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.